continuing to discuss the symptoms of a person in whom bhava has at least begun to appear. Bhava bhakti. Now this we should aspire for. The ultimate aim is Krishna prema, but of which bhava is bhava bhakti is an intermediate stage and a constituent stage. It's not that as one goes from sadhana bhakti to bhava bhakti to prema bhakti, it's not like a caterpillar turning into a butterfly. It's not that there's a total metamorphosis. Can you understand all this? I guess so, the translation's going on. But rather it's a gradual progression. Can you understand English, Jyoti Shekhar Prabhu? You can understand. All right, I didn't know. It's a gradual progression. The activities of a devotee in the stage of sadhana, vaidhi sadhana, and in bhava and in prema are more or less the same. It's the internal consciousness which develops, and that will be manifested in one's activities also. That although one may perform activities in the neophyte stage, that will be done with complete absorption in the advanced stage, and that will be apparent in one's activities and one's attitude. So I'd already discussed the kshantir avyartha kaladvam. Then viraktir mana shunyata. So the first four symptoms I discussed. So today I'll discuss asha bandha, which means great hope. One has great hope of achieving love of Krishna, even though one considers oneself to be quite unworthy. This is the symptom of a devotee. Even though he has all qualities, he considers himself to be devoid of any qualities. And Rupa Goswami gives a verse that he has composed in this regard, saying that I have no qualities, I have no taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. I'm not born in a very good family. Of course, he was born in a good family, but he had sangha dosha, the fault of associating with very impious people. So this is a common word in Vaishnav terminology, sangha dosha, that causes fall down by associating with worldly people. So Rupa Goswami describes that even though I am so unqualified, I'm saying Rupa Goswami because this description of Bhava Bhakti is from Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, composed by Rupa Goswami. So he has taken from all the shastras, he has analyzed and seen what are the qualities of various devotees and described them for our benefit. So he is praying that even though I am so totally unqualified, still I have a hope that Krishna, you will lift me up, you will bring me to you. That hope is keeping me alive. Otherwise, considering my not only lack of qualification, not only lack of good qualification, but disqualification, In every way, I appear to be a hopeless case. But then Krishna, he is known as Dinabandhu, famous name of Krishna, that he is very merciful. Adham Janarabandhu. He's very merciful, especially to those who are very fallen and hopeless. But especially if they admit, if one thinks himself to be very fallen, that in itself is a qualification for attaining Krishna's mercy. If one thinks that, well, I'm so qualified, I must be an obvious candidate for Krishna's mercy. Well, to think or like that means to disqualify oneself, because mercy flows down. It's not something that you can forcibly get a hold of. It's not that, well, now I've been chanting 64 rounds and fasting on every Ekadashi and I read Srimad Bhagavatam every day for 3 hours and, you know, definitely I must be very advanced by now, so Krishna won't be able to refuse me. This kind of attitude disqualifies one, that I am doing so much, I am so advanced, then as I mentioned the other day, punarmushiko bhava, you become a big tiger and get converted back to a mouse. So, one should always be very humble. Rupa and Sanatan, they were so humble, even though they were so qualified. They came before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they recited a verse from Yamunacharya Stotra Ratna, that you, dear Lord, you are the deliverer of the fallen, but we are sure that if you search throughout the three worlds, you will not find a better candidate for your mercy than us, because we are the most fallen. So, devotee has to cultivate this attitude, because in material consciousness, it's just the opposite. Everyone thinks, I'm very great. And even if we do something in devotional service is inspired by the internal energy of Krishna, which functions in a different way to the external energy. But so if we take to devotional service and we get some power from Krishna's bhakti shakti, but we're still in contact with Krishna's maya shakti, and then due to maya shakti we start to think, well, I'm doing all this. And then we lose our contact with the bhakti shakti. It becomes just a show. Two people can be doing the same thing, but the attitude and the result is completely different. Just like two people may be making chapatis. One is just making them for his own sense gratification. And the other is making them to offer to Krishna. So, the person, yagya shishtasana santo mucchante sarvakil vishai. Yeah, what is that? Ye pachanti. What is that? Sorry. Sarvakil vishai. Bunjate te twagang papa ye pachanti atma karana. One who cooks for himself. Oh, this has gone off again. One who cooks for himself is simply eats sin. But one who offers it to Krishna with love, and Krishna accepts that. So it's the same activity, but the result is different. One person goes to hell and the other person goes to Krishna. Why should that be? It's the same activity, but because of the attitude. So in the same way, two people may be performing what appears to be devotional service. Two people may be playing mridanga and singing, but one is doing for Krishna's pleasure and another is doing for sense gratification. You can also do kirtan for sense gratification. People will see me, they will appreciate what a good singer I am. So one gets the result of pleasing Krishna and the other pleases himself and maybe pleases others but doesn't please Krishna. So one should think oneself very fallen and lowly. This asha bandha, this hoping against hope for Krishna's mercy, this follows after the previous quality of a person in Bhava Bhakti is mentioned, mana shunyata, devoid of the desire for honor. So one can be devoid of the desire for prestige. There are two ways theoretically in which one could be free from the desire for prestige. One could think that I'm very qualified, but still I don't want to be praised. Another way is to think that I'm completely disqualified, so no one should praise me anyway. So the proper consciousness for a Vaishnava is to consider oneself completely unqualified to the extent that one feels totally hopeless. That I have no way I can't go forward at all. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm blind. I'm struggling. Rupa Goswami expresses this mood. And who can be a more advanced devotee than him? That is the very symptom of his advancement. This attitude of utter humility. It's not a show. It's not something that he poetically recites, but he actually feels very humble. But in that mood to call out helplessly to Krishna, that will be heard by Krishna. Sharanga sharanagati hoibe jaha taha prarthana shune Srinanda Kumar. Whoever possesses the six symptoms of sharanagati, their prayer is heard by Nanda Kumar Krishna. So the first one in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's listing, who writes this Sharanagati. Actually, in the verse quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, that comes fifth, that karapanya, or feeling oneself to be feeling of lowliness, a feeling of lacking. But Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his analysis of Sharanagati, treats this dainya, or considering oneself very low, he treats this first as the essential quality of a Vaishnava. So one who has this quality will be heard by Krishna. That the feeling that I'm not really fit to be here at all. But somehow or other, Krishna is allowing me to remain in the service of his servants. How can I possibly even approach Krishna? But still, I have a hope that Krishna is very merciful. And despite all my many, many disqualifications, because somewhere in my heart, amid all my material desires, there is a desire, a strong desire, that somehow or other, despite the apparent impossibility of it, I desire to attain Krishna, then Krishna will be very merciful to me. That I am hoping for. That doesn't mean that one should think, well, Krishna is very merciful, therefore I can do whatever I like and Krishna will deliver me. This is not acceptable. This Christian philosophy. Jesus Christ has made a contract that you just say you believe in him, you do whatever you like, you sin left, right and center, and Jesus will save you, and everyone else he'll throw into hell forever. This is not... Feeling oneself disqualified does not mean that one should act in a disqualified manner. nor should one think that it is acceptable to do anything but this, to follow anything but the standard given by Rupa Goswami in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Rupa Goswami gives all the rules and regulations to be followed in devotional service. So these are to be followed. It's not that one can neglect all the rules of devotional service and then say, well, I'm very fallen, but I think Krishna will save me anyway. That's not Rupa Goswami's intention. His intention is that by following these rules and regulations, we should develop the purified consciousness by which we think we are very fallen. Whereas contaminated consciousness is to think that I am very advanced, either materially or spiritually. If one thinks that everything is depending on me, kartaham iti manyate, I'm doing everything around here. This is contaminated consciousness. So one should follow the rules and regulations of devotional service and at the same time chant with great sincerity. And if one does so, then naturally this Vaishnava feeling will come in the heart that I'm very fallen, I'm very low, but I'm simply praying that Krishna will deliver me. And I have hope that despite my many disqualifications, that Krishna will do so. The next qualification, of course these could be discussed in much more detail, but I'm giving a general idea here, as far as I can. So the next is samudkanka, eagerness to attain Krishna. One should be very eager. It's not that Krishna can be attained by a half-hearted approach. I'll do a little bhakti, take it easy, relax a little bit. Sometimes we hear devotees say, don't be so intense. But actually intensity is required in Krishna consciousness. Chivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. In whether one is full of desires, without material desires, designed to merge into the absolute, whatever, one should intensely worship Krishna. So intensity is required. One should be very eager that I must do whatever is required to attain Krishna. The half-hearted, lackadaisical, whimsical approach will not help us. One has to be eager to attain Krishna, which means that one has to be, if one is eager to attain Krishna, then automatically one will not want to engage in sense gratification. This is the test. Bhakti paresh anubhavo viraktir anyatra. It's not that one should be eager for Krishna consciousness and then again eager for sense gratification. Sometimes we see that. Some people, they're very enthusiastically chant the holy names, and then afterwards you can see them just as enthusiastically singing some mundane song. So the pleasure that they're getting from that chanting is not the pleasure of singing to Krishna, but they're taking it as a musical attraction. So sometimes we see that, especially among musically minded people, that they'll chant the names of Krishna with apparent absorption, but their aim is not to attain Krishna. Because if their aim was to attain Krishna, then they would not do anything but what is required to attain Krishna. That eagerness means anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, to follow the path of sharanagati, to accept everything favorable for serving Krishna and to reject everything else. At the same time, that eagerness has to be tempered that eagerness or enthusiasm has to be tempered by a realistic approach. Not that, well, just like we see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described this Vrikasura. He wanted to propitiate Lord Shiva. He was very enthusiastic to do so. So he wanted Lord Shiva to personally appear before him, so he started cutting off his own skin and throwing it, offering it as an oblation in the fire. He was ready to cut his own head off. So this kind of, this Vrikasura was eager to get some benediction from Lord Shiva, and therefore he engaged in such a tamasic form of worship. So a devotee is eager, but that eagerness is tempered by utsaham nischaya dharyat. His eagerness is tempered by determination. Often we see that people are enthusiastic, but it doesn't stay. It's flickering. So this is enthusiasm in rajogun, that one is enthusiastic for something, and then, oh, fed up. Oh, just leave it. I can't. When inevitable obstacles come, just, I can't be bothered. It's too much. And then again, after a little time, feel very enthusiastic. And then after some time, never mind. So, enthusiasm has to be tempered by determination and patience. Steady enthusiasm. That always eager. Not that this up and down, up and down, up and down. One day very enthusiastic, the next day flop. This is rajoguna. But in bhava bhakti, one has come above the modes of material nature to a large extent, mostly. And one's eagerness is steady in all circumstances. One is guru napi navi chalyate. Even in the midst of great obstacles, one is not disturbed. One remains eager to serve Krishna. So that eagerness means that there's some very strong feeling of understanding that I have nothing else. I don't want anything else. Only Krishna. If one is eager for Krishna and also eager for sense gratification, that is not what is meant by Rupa Goswami. Eagerness for Krishna means full eagerness, not many branched. Otherwise that eagerness, if one is like that, eager to sing about Krishna and then eager to sing some cinema songs, then that means that it's not full eagerness, it's compromised. So eagerness means full eagerness, only for Krishna, but also tempered with the realistic determination and patience by which that eagerness can be sustained day after day after day, to keep on going with the eagerness that if I make in this lifetime, if I make even a little progress towards Krishna, that is my gain. So this is this ashabandha, the hope against hope. I'm not qualified, but still I'm hoping Krishna will deliver me. But then, not that one simply sits back and waits for Krishna to deliver us, but eagerly engaging in activities of devotional service, which will actually attract Krishna's mercy. So these are another two symptoms. Now we covered six. Any questions about this? Yes, please. It's your own question?
Sometimes we are
Yeah, yeah. Two attitudes are being described. One is that, well, let me serve Krishna, let me serve the devotees. And by doing so, I will get, that will qualify me for Krishna Prem. And the other attitude is just to serve without any, what is it, without any motive? What is, well, which is pure or which is better? Well, actually, the attitude of a pure devotee is somewhat a mixture of, or one who's aspiring to be a pure devotee is somewhat a mixture of this, because definitely everyone does something with a goal in mind. There's a goal to be attained. We don't want to be in the present state that we're in, that we're in Maya. We want to get out of this condition for ourselves. Everyone is cognizant of their own interest. And there's no harm in that if one is endeavoring for one's own real self-interest. There's no harm in, I mean, no harm, it's definitely very much wanted that we should think, let me attain pure love of Krishna. But then in pure love of Krishna, there's no personal motive. There's no motive that, well, I'll be the best in Vrindavan, I'll kick out Nanda Maharaj and everyone else, and I'll be known as the best devotee. Maybe I'll even kick out Krishna and become God myself. So this is the materialistic attitude. I will become better. But a devotee thinks, I will become better, not in a mood of competition or envy, but because he wants to improve himself so that he can serve Krishna. So the desire for self-improvement or personal interest in Krishna consciousness, it's not the same as the motivation of someone who thinks, I will be pious and I will go to the heavenly planets. It's different. The desire to come to one's purified natural state is a pure desire. And devotee also knows that if by developing pure Krishna consciousness, he does, that is the best thing he can do for himself and for others. It's the best way to help himself and others. So it's not selfish, even though it might superficially appear to be so, but the desire to be a pure devotee and to attain love of Krishna is not a selfish desire. Yes. क्या है हम हाँ हाँ यदि हम पर उपकार के लिए प्रयास करते हैं तो स्वयं उपकार भी होगा साथ साथ. If we try to help others by the spiritual method, our own, by doing so, our own interest will be served. Just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told the Kurma Brahmana, Jare dekho tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amar agya guru hayataro edesh. Now the Brahmana, he wanted to go with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, you stay here and preach and deliver this land. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he further said, the Brahmana said, I can't stay at home, and I'm being overcome by the waves of Maya, I want to go with you. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that if you do like this, if you preach Krishna consciousness, then kabhu na badhi be tomai e bishoy taranga punarapi e thai pabe marasanga. He said that if you do like this, you preach selflessly, then Maya will not affect you, and you will attain my association in this place. You don't have to go with me. You'll be with me. By service, you'll live with me and be with me. So, by serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, our own best interest is served, and that of others also. If a jiva attains bhava, can he enter into the spiritual world? One should come to the platform of prema, prema bhakti. But bhava, to enter the spiritual world, a full development is required. But bhava is really just it's just one step before. Although still there may be some residual material desires lurking in the heart. Yeah. Prema is rare for the jiva, that's true. But it's not so rare that it's impossible. How many jivas are there? I mean, practically, even in our own body, there are practically unlimited jivas. So, yeah, it's rare. But, again, it's not impossible. It's not so rare that it's just almost impossible. Otherwise, what is the meaning of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu being Krishna Prema Pradaya? Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurtushay Namaha. We praise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the bestower of Krishna Prema. So if there's no Krishna Prema, then what's the meaning of that? Prema is very rare. By the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's made it easily available. Our activities and our attitude, should we try to change them simultaneously? Well, the activities in devotional service are fairly fixed in most cases. It's the attitude that we have to work on. It's not that we always have to change our activities, but it's the attitude that requires working on. As Srila Prabhupada said, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer. So, ado shraddha tata sadhu sangha atha Bhajana Kriya Tato Narata Nivritti Syat Tato Nishtarujistata Hata Saktis Tato Bhava Tato Prema Abhyudan Chati Sada Kana Mayang Prema Pradur Bhave Bhavat Kramaha. So how can we go step by step up? Well, the first stage is initial faith. Then association with devotees, taking their instructions. Then we have to follow the bhajana kriya, the activities of devotional service, as given by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And that will gradually lead us through the stages of anartha nivritti, ruchi, asakti, ruchi, antita asakti, then to bhava. Now we're discussing bhava. But before we come to that stage, there has to be assiduous following of the process of sadhana. And by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada, there's special dispensation for those who are preaching Krishna consciousness. But don't take that as a license to do whatever we like. Hare Krishna. We'll finish there. Hare Krishna. Sri Bhakti Samrita Sindhu Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.